Aren't you glad you're a Christian? All right, as you will notice, there are quite a few holes this morning. A bunch of our folks are either at Silver Dollar City or at the college campout, but I'm really glad that you're here this morning with us. One summer evening, it was during a violent thunderstorm. The mother was tucking her little boy into bed, and she went to go and turn off the light, and she heard the nervous little voice, "Mommy, would you sleep with me tonight?" Well, she smiled and gave him a hug and said, "No, I need to sleep with your daddy." And after a long pause, finally the silence was broken. "The big sissy." All right, if you would, grab a Bible. Let's be turning over to the book of Joshua. The Old Testament character of Joshua, well, he had two things to be nervous about. Now, have you ever had to fill the shoes of a great person? You know, this is something that a preacher always worries about when moving to a new place. I mean, it's one thing to take the reins from someone who had just, you know, done a mediocre job, and, well, they weren't well loved or anything like that. It wasn't a great loss to see them go, but it's quite another to take over for someone who had just done a stellar job. And they were well loved, well respected. And you talk about pressure. Well, that's what happened to Joshua, because, you see, God had used Moses to, of course, rescue the Israelites from their Egyptian bondage, to lead them in the wilderness. And, well, his death was a very sad event for the people. I'm sure quite a few of them were disheartened. And so there was that. Well, the other thing was Joshua's job description. You see, God, his work in fulfilling his promise to Israel, it wasn't done. It was now Joshua's turn to take them into the promised land and to, well, the conquest of Canaan. It was going to be more than a monumental task. Well, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, we've got an introductory statement. And then in verses 2 through 9, we find God's commission to Joshua. And we're not told how God communicated this to him. I mean, it sounds as if God was directly speaking to him in some way. Well, today what I want to do is focus on verses 6 through 9, where God repeated the command to be strong and courageous three times. Now, think about this. You're talking to God, and he repeats a statement three times. He repeats the same phrase. I suspect it's going to get your attention. But we also find Joshua being told this back in Deuteronomy 31 and in Joshua 10 and 11. So obviously this was a critical requirement when it came to his task. And yeah, God is going to be with Joshua, but there was still going to be quite a bit required of him. So you may be wondering, well, what in the world does this have to do with you and me? Well, obviously, we're not setting out to conquer the Canaanites, but I still believe that this command is one of the requirements of God's people today, and we're going to talk about that more. So number one, we've got the task in verse 6. He said, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." You see, God had promised this land to Abraham and his descendants back in Genesis chapter 15. But he said that, well, they couldn't have it yet back then. And the reason was because the iniquity of those in the land, well, it was not yet complete. Genesis 15 and verse 16. And of course, we're reminded of this Old Testament picture of a nation's cup of sin. You see, when a nation's cup of sin got too full, well, God would go after them. He, when it was filled, he would make sure that they were taken down. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Moses told them, "Do not say in your heart, when the Lord your God has driven them out before you, because of my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is dispossessing them before you. It is not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart that you are going to possess their land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God is driving them out before you in order to confirm the oath which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Well, again, this is no little task. I mean, there's going to be many battles. This conquest is going to take years. Now, of course, I've never gone to war. I can only imagine. I recognize that the movies only give you a very small taste of what it's like. And remember that Joshua, he was one of those spies that was sent 40 years earlier. He knew what they were up against. He had seen those great fortified cities and the huge soldiers that they would face in battle, you know, which made them feel like grasshoppers, as they said. Now think, if you had to go into battle, All right? And all the enemies look like Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime. Okay? That's kind of the idea here. And so there's going to be many times when it would seem that they were outmanned and outgunned, as we would say. Now, while we may not be in a physical war, we are certainly in a spiritual one. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, Ephesians 6:12. And since it's not a physical battle, we obviously don't use earthly weaponry in our fighting, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:4 through 5. And so, see, like Joshua, we need to be strong and courageous as we fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12. Now, not the conquest of Canaan, but the spiritual conquest of self and of the world around us. As Guy Orbison commented, Christians too must have strength and courage. That's because we face similar challenges that Joshua had to face. We are engaged in a fight, as was Joshua and the Israelites. We are to stand firm against the wickedness of the world, even exposing it as sin, Ephesians 5:11 through 13. We are also to stand firm against the false teaching that disturbs the church and leads people in the wrong direction, 1 Timothy 3:15. Strength and courage are essential on those occasions when we are required to stand alone for what is right. Be strong and courageous. Now, when we hear the word strong, we normally think about physical strength. You know, maybe Samson from the book of Judges comes to mind. Maybe one of those guys from the strongman competitions. But you see, God here, you know, I don't think he's talking, be strong means to hit the gym and to drink protein shakes. See, God is speaking of something that's found in the inner man. He's talking about spiritual strength. Strength of character. See, God's calling upon Joshua to bear up just under this awesome responsibility. And well, courage, now that's not the opposite of fear, as some people think. It has to do with taking charge of our fears. It has to do with facing danger and facing difficulty without retreating from it. Mark Twain put it like this, courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, but not the absence of fear. Or as John Wayne said it, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. You see, it's the willingness to put yourself at risk in order to do what is right. And you notice that God, well, he didn't promise that he'd somehow zap Joshua with strength and courage or give him a supernatural infusion of bravery or something like that. It was a command. You see, this is a requirement that was placed on the shoulders of Joshua. And so you might say that he's telling Joshua he's got a cowboy up. Well, I believe the same is true for us. Be strong. Well, in the New Testament, we find passages like 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. You see, the men of that congregation needed to quit acting like little boys. Ephesians 6:10. It says to be strong in the Lord. And in 2 Timothy 2:1, Timothy was told to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And courageous. John 16:33, Jesus, he told the apostles, in the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. And Acts 23 and verse 11, Paul was told, take courage, for as you have solemnly witnessed to my cause at Jerusalem, so you must witness at Rome also. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 6 through 8, it says, therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. You see, in some cultures, standing up for your Christianity is going to put your life at risk. Well, like Joshua, Christians are required to present to God a heart of strength and courage. So we should never let fear to dictate to us what we're going to do. And now I'm ashamed All right, and I'm sure that you could say the same. When I think about all the times that I have let fear keep me from doing what I should have or could have done. You see, we need strength and courage when the odds are against us. We need strength and courage when doing what is right is not popular. We need strength and courage when facing a crisis. We need strength and courage when shouldering responsibility. You see, Jesus, He never said that being a Christian was going to be a piece of cake or a walk in the park. In fact, He said the opposite. So number two, the requirement, verses 7 and 8. Let's continue reading. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. And so besides being strong and courageous, and you notice how he added very, there was another requirement. To stay within the limits of God's Word. So why is this important? Well, you see, when we are obedient to what God has said, and we know then that He's pleased with us, well, it gives us strength and courage to keep on keeping on. Well, I believe that the reverse is true as well. See, when we're disobedient and we're neglectful of the Word, well, we're pretty sure that He's displeased with us. And so it's very hard to have strength and courage when your conscience is bothering you. Well, also when we read the Scriptures, see, we're hearing God speak to us. And so it's kind of like a sideline coach. All right, he's calling out to us during the game. He's trying to encourage us, trying to point out the right thing to do. And so, if you're not reading the Word of God, you have silenced His voice in your life. And so, it's much easier for your fears to win the day. Well, it's also important because when we read the Scriptures, we're able to examine the lives of men and women of God in the past, like us who are on the same journey of life. And so, you see, we see their faith. We watch them stand up for what's right. We watch them stand against what's wrong. And so it gives us the confidence that, well, I can do that. See, that we can do the same in our generation. Now take a look at verse 8. It was to be in his mouth. He was to speak it. You see, whether it was, you know, he was quoting it or he was reading it to himself or to others. As Willard Winter put it, he was to be thoroughly familiar with the Scriptures so that his speech would be flavored by the Word of God. He was to be conversant in the Scriptures so that he would feel at home when speaking to the priests, the prophets, and the elders of the people. Although he was primarily a military man and had the responsibility of government, his campaigns were to be waged in the light of God's instructions. His government was to be the kind of government which could be blessed by God. Well, also, it was to be on his mind. See, he was to meditate on it. Now, unlike the meditation that you normally think of when it comes to the Eastern religions, biblical meditation is very different. See, it's not a detachment from the world. It's an attachment to the Word. Okay, it's about mental exercise and spending time thinking about what God has said in his Word. And it was to be on his motion. Now, sorry, I needed a third M. Okay, so he was to do according to all that was written in it. Not just the parts he liked, okay? Not just the parts that were easy. See, verse 7, he said not to turn from the right or to the left. And so when it comes to God's Word, we're not to go legalistic or liberal. We're to stay with the text. You see? Mouth, mind, and motion. He said, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. You see, success was not unconditional. Number three, the ability. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so you may be thinking, yeah, I want to be strong and courageous, okay? I want to do what's right. I want to stand against the odds. But I need more help. Well, looking at this verse, we got two more reasons here that Joshua could find strength and courage. Well, first, by knowing that it was God who gave the task. Have I not commanded you? You see, the conquest of Canaan, that wasn't Joshua's idea. See, if you're not sure of what God wants of you, you're not sure of the task that He's given you, you're most likely going to be timid and hesitant and fearful at your approach. But, okay, when we know exactly what it is that God has authorized for us to do, and of course for us that's having book, chapter, verse in the New Testament, well, that's going to give us the confidence to stand tall and do it. I mean, we can gain the strength and courage to do what's right when we know that we're following God, is God's instructions and God's tasks. I mean, there's a big difference between something that I tell you to do and something that God tells you to do, you see? Well, second, by knowing that God has promised to be with us. Now, I think this is the biggest, of course. As He said in verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. You see, Joshua was there. He saw with his own eyes how God had supported Moses and backed him up time after time. But you see, Moses was a great man. I mean, would he do the same for little old Joshua? Joshua was just Moses' aide. Writing in an old commentary, Richard Glover, he put it like this. You kind of got to pay attention because of the old language, but I like what he said. Revere the saintly past, but recognize the divine present. The great ones have gone. That which made them great remains. The fixed constancy of their maturer service makes us forget with what gradualness their character grew. How by lowly ventures, by difficult waiting, by support only sufficient to prevent despair, they rose step by step. God's grace entering them ever the more largely and obeyed ever the more fully. So, blade to ear, ear to full corn in the ear, the character grew, and so may ours. Today, the Spirit of all grace broods on humanity, kindling all wakeful spirits, entering and employing them. Still, Christ's love helps and harbors all. The peculiarities of the 19th century do not enfeeble God, and He is here, fresh and strong today. Well, the same is true in the 21st century. He's the same God. Now, verse 5, of course, that's quoted in Hebrews 13. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for He Himself has said, quoting back, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. Now, because of their Christianity, see, the Hebrew Christians, they were in danger of losing their family inheritance, you know, being disowned, and they were in danger of losing their business. So what about us? Well, we may actually lose a job because we refuse to work on Sunday morning. Or we refuse to engage in underhanded business methods. But, okay, even in the worst recession, we can still have strength and courage because we know that the Lord is going to provide for His people. You see? If we put Him first. Matthew 6:33. And, of course, we find verses like 1 John 4:4. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. See, we are required to stand firm against false teaching. We're required to stand firm against the wicked ways of the world. And in this, we can have confidence that God is with us. See, the world, man, they've only got Satan as their source of power. We have got the Creator of the universe on our side. You see, the Almighty with us. And so we need to ask ourselves, do I really believe it? And do I live in ways that manifest that belief? You see, will I have the strength and courage to launch out in faith, trusting in God to clear the way? Ephesians 3:20, it says, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. See, God can do more with us and through us than we can even ask of Him or even think possible. See, the question is, will we let Him? And so Joshua, as we continue to read, we see he certainly did find that strength and courage. And God was able to do just great things through him. In the last two chapters of the book, we find Joshua's farewell address, his farewell speech. And in it, he said this: "You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is He who has been fighting for you." Now, you notice that Joshua, he didn't take credit. He could have easily said, "See, look at all the things you've done because of my leadership." No, he pointed it to God. He rightly gave the credit to God. Now, among some of the other things that he taught there, we find chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. He said, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so our living strong and courageously in this way, it's only going to come through, I believe, a true relationship with the Lord. You need to choose that as well. And so, when he tells us to be strong and courageous, and he tells us to arise and cross the Jordan and take the land, what will you and I do? If there are any spiritual needs this morning, we offer you that invitation. If you'd like the prayers of the congregation, or if you need to be baptized into Christ, if maybe you'd like to sit down and speak with one of our elders, there's a spiritual need. If anything you need to make right or make known, you can come forward now as we stand and sing, and one of our elders will sit down with you.